It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning, thankful for this opportunity to stand before you to present a lesson from God's Word. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As you're turning over to Matthew chapter 5, I failed to mention this morning that Chris isn't with us. He is sick. And so we certainly need to be mindful of him. I know there's a lot of sickness going around. I know there's a lot of people that are struggling with the flu. It's that time of year. And so let's be mindful of those who are not feeling well. Let's continue to pray for them. Well, we're spending some time in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount perhaps was one of the greatest sermons that our Lord ever taught. And it really begins His ministry. When Jesus comes onto the scene, we'll see that He doesn't identify Himself with the Pharisees. He doesn't identify Himself with the Sadducees. As you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were the two main sects of the religion of Jesus' day. And as we think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how they would go about teaching the people, when the people heard Jesus, they heard somebody that was very different. Jesus didn't identify Himself with the Pharisees or the Sadducees, and He didn't sound like them in His teaching. And so when Jesus taught the proclamation, as He began to proclaim the gospel, the glad tidings, when they heard His message on repentance, the announcement of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ had their attention. You can only imagine what was going through their mind as they were listening to Jesus, as they heard Him teach concerning the gospel, as they heard the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was going through their minds? What kind of prophet is this? You can imagine what they were thinking about Jesus and His relationship to the Mosaic Law. Well, we're in chapter 5, 17 through 20. And as we read Matthew 5, 17 through 20, Jesus is going to put all of this into perspective. The first thing that we will see is His perspectiveness of the old law. How He viewed the old law. Again, these things were going through their mind, and I believe we can say that because of what Jesus says in verse number 17. He begins by saying, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle," which were basically accents of the Hebrew language, "shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Again, we see His perspective of the old law. I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Again, it might be that when they heard Jesus proclaim the gospel, when they heard the announcement of His kingdom, perhaps they were thinking, well, is He going to destroy the old law? What is Jesus talking about when He says, "I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets"? The law has to do with the Mosaic Law. The prophets also had to do with the Mosaic Law. the Mosaic Law was revealed and it was reiterated by the Old Testament prophets. As we've been studying in the book of Hosea, one of the chapter titles in the book of Hosea is, I have spoken by the prophets. God sent the prophets and He spoke His law. He spoke His word through the prophets. And so what Jesus is doing here when He says, I didn't come to destroy the law or prophets, He is emphasizing His point. I didn't come to destroy the Mosaic law, the law which spoke of me. The prophets which spoke of me, I didn't come to destroy that. I came to fulfill. And there's a huge difference here. Jesus didn't destroy the old law. He didn't come to destroy the old law. He came to fulfill that law. Well, as you think about the old law that was spoken by the prophets, the Mosaic Law could be divided into three parts. I guess you could say there were three dimensions of the Mosaic Law. And these dimensions just help us understand the nature of the Mosaic Law. For example, you had number one, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. You had the judicial law, which set the Israelites apart from every nation. For example, they had dietary laws. They had laws of purification. And again, these dietary laws, these laws of purification would separate the people of God from the rest of the world. We read about the sabbatical year. We read about the year of Jubilee. And again, all of these different laws would fit under this heading of God's judicial law for God's children. And then you had the ceremonial laws. You had those laws that would legislate or govern God's people when they would worship God. You had the different feasts. You had the different sacrifices. You had the different days that God's people would offer sacrifices. And so someone may ask, well, which one of those laws did Jesus come to fulfill? Did He come to fulfill the moral law, the judicial law, or the ceremonial law? Well, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. That is, He came to fulfill the moral law, and He fulfilled it completely. He kept the law perfectly. He never transgressed against God's law. He came to fulfill God's judicial law. He came to fulfill the ceremonial law. He fulfilled every aspect of the Mosaic law. You know what's interesting? As I said, when you consider the Sermon on the Mount, you see the flow. As I said, it's systematic. Jesus is putting everything into perspective. He wants them to understand His relationship with the Mosaic Law. He didn't come again to destroy it, but to fulfill it, to complete everything that the old law pointed to. As I was thinking about this, as you think about God's law, everything pointed to Christ. The patriarchal law, the Mosaic law. You can begin in the book of Genesis, and again, we see Christ. You think about the book of Genesis, for example, the seed of woman. You turn to the book of Exodus. We're reminded of Passover. Christ came from the seed of woman, the book of Genesis. Jesus Christ is our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. We come to the book of Leviticus and we read about Jesus, our high priest. You can turn to the book of Numbers and we read about Jesus who would be our rock. Or the book of Deuteronomy, which speaks of the prophet that would come after Moses, Jesus, Deuteronomy 18, verse number 15. We think about the book of Joshua and we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. The book of Judges reminds us that Jesus Christ is our judge and lawgiver. You think about the book of Ruth. We see that Jesus Christ is our kinsman. He is our redeemer. You can turn over to the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. We see that Jesus Christ is the true prophet of God. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. We learn that Jesus Christ indeed is the one that is reigning. You can go through every book of the Old Testament and it has something to say about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what aspect of the old law you consider. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. He completed it. You think about some of the feast days that they were to keep. For example, Passover. Jesus Christ fulfilled that law. He is our Passover. And so as we think about verse number 17, Jesus Christ is showing His relationship to the old law. He's putting it all into perspective. In essence, what Jesus is saying, I didn't come to destroy the law. The old law spoke of me. The old law pointed to me. In essence, Jesus is saying, I am the theme of the old law. I didn't come to destroy that. I came to fulfill it. Now, there are five passages I want you to read with me. I could just reference these passages, but I want you to read these passages with me. The first is right here in Matthew 5, verse number 17. And as what we will see in these five passages is this thought. In all five passages that are going to look at, we see Jesus Christ claimed to be the theme of the Old Testament. He claimed to be the theme of the Old Testament in all five passages. And all these, again, are from the New Testament. Here's the first, Matthew 5, verse 17. And I put these in order to help us work through the New Testament. But turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We see, again, Jesus Christ claimed to be the theme of the Old Testament. And Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Whether you look at the Mosaic Law, whether you looked at the prophets, the Mosaic Law, the prophets spoke of Christ. They said things concerning the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah that would come. Jesus in Matthew 5 is showing how He fulfilled all of that. How He came to complete what Moses and the prophets revealed about Him. Look at another example still in Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. And notice a third category. And in the Psalms concerning me. Not only do we have prophecies about Jesus Christ in the law of Moses, not only do we have prophecies about Christ in the prophets, but we see that there were prophecies about Christ in the book of Psalms. Read Psalm 22. You have a poetic description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I'm so amazed by Psalm 22 because when Christ is hanging on the cross, He says very little. Only six sayings from the cross. But when you read Psalm 22, you see a poetic description of His crucifixion, and you see what was in the mind of God. You see what Jesus was thinking as people looked at Him on the cross, and that's not revealed anywhere else except there in Psalm 22. There are so many messianic psalms. Psalm 110 is quoted throughout the New Testament, speaking of Christ who would be our high priest. Jesus didn't come to destroy what Moses, what the prophets, what the psalms revealed about Him. He came to fulfill those prophecies. Look at another example. A third time where Jesus Christ claimed to be the theme of the Old Testament. In John 5 verse number 39, Jesus says, You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And listen to what He says. And they are they which testify of Me. And so when we turn back to the Old Testament again, the Old Testament testified of the Messiah, of the Christ. Jesus puts all of this into perspective for them because they heard Him teach. They heard Him preach. And naturally, they are thinking, who is this man? Who is this great prophet of God? Is He coming to destroy the Mosaic Law? No, I'm not coming to destroy it, but I'm coming to fulfill it. And I'm going to fulfill it completely. Everything the old law said, Jesus fulfilled it completely. Look at another example. That's John 5 verse number 39. Look at the last example found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I believe it's verse number 7, but I want to begin actually in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. And what you will see beginning at verse number 5 is the writer is quoting from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. And the psalmist is making reference to Christ. And the Hebrew writer is showing how Christ was the one who fulfilled that which the psalmist was speaking of. And so we begin here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared Me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of Me to do thy will. Again, that which the psalmist spoke of was speaking of Christ, who would come to do the Father's will. And we learn in that beautiful psalm that Jesus was given a body, speaking of His incarnation, that allowed Him to be that sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so whether we look at the Mosaic Law, whether we look at the prophets which reiterated the law, or what the psalmist declared, Jesus Christ came to fulfill it. And here in Matthew 5 verse 17, He's putting it all into perspective. The old law pointed toward Him. He was the theme of the old law, and they missed it. They missed it. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. You'll see in Galatians chapter 10, verse number 4, that the old law ultimately would be that schoolmaster, that tutor that would lead them to Jesus Christ. We can spend the rest of our time looking at messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. There are over 200 of them. We would literally have to enter into a series of lessons looking at those messianic prophecies. And those prophecies certainly deserve our attention, because we need to understand the Mosaic Law, the Old Covenant, because the Old Covenant helps us understand the New Testament. It really helps us understand why Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth. Without those prophecies, we would be left in the dark, you see. But because of those prophecies, we understand why the Messiah would come. We would understand why Jesus, who was rich in heaven, for our sakes became poor, so that we through His poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. The Old Testament teaches us that Christ would have to come into the flesh to be that sacrifice, because the blood of bulls and goats alone, Hebrews 10 verse number 4, could not take away the sins of the world. We wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law had a purpose. God gave that law for an intended purpose. And Jesus Christ here in Matthew 5, verse number 17, is putting this all together. He's making sense out of it, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had abused the Mosaic Law. They missed the whole point of the Mosaic Law. And Jesus Christ is putting it all into perspective. And so what Jesus Christ wants them to understand, as we begin to read verse number 19, is this. He is not lowering the standard of righteousness by saying that I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He's not lowering the standard of righteousness. In fact, He is elevating it. He is raising it where it belonged. As I said, when we think about the Pharisees, the scribes, we see how they abuse the Mosaic Law. I believe one of the greatest sections in Scripture that show us the abuse, their abuse of the Mosaic Law, is found in Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9, where Jesus talks about their traditions. And then He talks about the commandments that were made by men, not by God. And you read Matthew 15 carefully, and you will see that the Pharisees elevated their traditions, the commandments of men, above the law of God. And Jesus corrects them. Jesus rebukes them. In fact, He says in Matthew 15, verse 17, verse 7, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but you remember what He said about their heart? Their heart is far from me. And so again, verse number 19, Jesus isn't lowering the standard of righteousness by saying, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Somebody might ask the question, by fulfilling the old law, is Jesus Christ removing the old law? Or is Jesus Christ removing law, period? Because Christ fulfilled the old law, are we free from law? That's not what Jesus is teaching here. In fact, verse number 19 will show that to be true. Whosoever, Jesus says, therefore shall break one of these least, listen to the word, commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I said, when you look at verse number 19, you have to remember the time period. Jesus was still living under the old law. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were still under the Mosaic Law. And while they were still under that old law, Jesus Christ is encouraging them to keep that old law, because if they put it into perspective, they would listen to Jesus, because the old law spoke of Him. You see how all of this works together? Do you see how Christ puts all of this into perspective for them and for us. Now, I want to stop right there because we realize that Jesus Christ fulfilled that old law. That's what He said to. That's what He said He would do. And He did that by dying on the cross. But there's something else that we have to keep in mind as we look at verse number 19. When Jesus Christ fulfilled the old law, He fulfilled it completely. And according to Ephesians 2 verse 15, Colossians 2 verse 14, He nailed it to the cross. That is, we're not under the Mosaic law. We're not under those ceremonial laws. We're not under the law that God gave them. We don't keep the year of Jubilee. We don't participate in the burnt offerings. We are not under, in the strict sense, the Ten Commandments of God. We don't keep the Sabbath day. Now let me just say something real quick. As you look at the Ten Commandments, God's moral law, what's interesting is you will see those commandments in the new law, the law of Christ. But the point that we're making as we look at verse number 19, there's been a change of law. For them, it was the law of Moses that spoke of Christ, that pointed them to Christ. For us, we understand that we're under the New Testament. We are under the New Covenant. And listen to me, we are under the law of God. By fulfilling the old law, Jesus Christ wasn't removing the old law. He replaced it with the new law, the new covenant. I believe many misunderstand the law of God. As I said, many misunderstand even today that we're not under the Mosaic law. But even many people in the world today believe that they were not under any law of any sort. They don't understand the relationship between grace, law, and obedience. And I really want to highlight that point because as you look at verse number 19, Jesus Christ is making a very powerful point about keeping the commandments of God if we're going to be in His kingdom. What is He talking about? Keeping His commandments. Keeping His law. Now, as we think about terms are important. For example, in Romans 1 verse 16, we learn about the gospel, which is God's power unto salvation. In Romans 8 verse 2, we read about the law of the Spirit of the new covenant. The law of the Spirit. We read about the law of faith, Romans 3 verse number 27. In James 1 verse 25, we read about the perfect law of liberty. And then in Romans 9, 21, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, we read about the law of Christ. The gospel, the spirit of the law, the faith, the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ, those are synonymous terms. They're saying the same thing. The Bible never teaches us that we are to be lawless. God has a law. There was the patriarchal law. There was the Mosaic law. Jesus fulfilled that law. He nailed it to the cross. And you and I today, we live under the law of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be citizens of God's kingdom, we have to be obedient to God's law. Obedient to His commandments. And when we're obedient to His commandments, we're not trying to earn our salvation. We're not trying to merit our salvation in any way. We understand that under the law of Christ, the law of Christ teaches us that we've all sinned. We understand through the law of Christ, there is no righteous person. We also understand under the law of Christ that God made provision for the forgiveness of sin through the blood of His Son, which has to do with His grace. Even though we are under grace, doesn't mean that we have a license to sin. Grace doesn't remove us from the law of God. And it's so important to understand that about the new covenant, the perfect law of liberty. When we obey the gospel, we are removed from the condemnation of God's law. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. For those who are in Christ Jesus are free. They're not condemned. But as we think about living as Christians, we have to continue to live by God's law, because God's law teaches us how to live. Because sometimes when you emphasize obedience to the law of God, naturally somebody will say, well, you're being Pharisaical. You're trying to be like the Pharisees because you're emphasizing the commandments of God. Jesus emphasized the commandments of God here in verse number 19. Jesus said, if you're going to be a part of My kingdom, you must be obedient to My law. That's what He was emphasizing to the Pharisees. But again, they missed it, and we don't want to miss it. And so as we strive to be obedient to God's law, we're not being Pharisaical. We're not being legalistic. In fact, when you think about that term, legalist, a legalist is one who keeps law for law's sake. Now, when you think about that, that's Phariseeism. And you see how the Pharisees lived. But obedience is keeping law, listen to me, for love's sake. And oh, there's a huge difference there. The Bible is emphasizing obedience. Jesus Christ is emphasizing obedience to God's law. If we're going to be in His kingdom, we must be obedient to His commandments. The same thing could be said. We must be obedient to His law, His gospel, the system of faith, the new covenant that's been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the everlasting covenant. Throughout the book of Hebrews, you will see that terminology, covenant and law. And they're harmonious. There's unity. Again, they're speaking of the same thing. And there's beautiful harmony between God's grace, God's law, and our obedience. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 15, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Now, in verse number 20, let me show you why Jesus Christ is raising the standard of righteousness here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20, which I truly believe verse 20 perhaps is the key to the whole Sermon on the Mount. And listen to what He says. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of My God, of God. If you're going to be like them, if you're going to be Pharisaical, you cannot be in My kingdom. Well, when you look at the Pharisees, as I mentioned already, they abused the law of God. They held their traditions, their commandments of men above God's law. But number two, we see from Luke chapter 18 that the Pharisees were self-righteous. You remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican? And we see how the Pharisee responded. He boasted in himself. He says, I'm not as other men are. And he boasts about his righteous deeds, his righteous works, how he gives to the poor. But then we read about the publican. Out of humility of heart, he could not even look up to heaven, but he cries out to God. And Jesus talks about the one who went to their house justified. Jesus is showing us the purpose. The purpose of keeping God's commandments. The only way that we can become righteous, Matthew 5 verse 20, is obeying the law of God. It's by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, again, the only way that an individual can become righteous before God. Romans 3 verse 10 teaches me that there is no righteous one. We have no righteousness of our own. We learn that Jesus Christ died for us. He died in our stead. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I can't save myself. There's not enough good I can do in the world to save myself. There's not enough good that I can do in the world where I can turn to God and say, God, You owe me salvation because of what I've done. I can have salvation because of what Christ has done. God has provided the means of forgiveness through His Son, but I must obey God's law in order to associate myself with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I must obey God's terms of pardon, which is found in the law of God, the new covenant, the gospel, which is God's power unto salvation. And I want to end by turning to Romans chapter 10. And as we turn to Romans chapter 10, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And this is the purpose of Matthew 5 verse number 20. If we're going to become righteous in the kingdom of God, we must obey the gospel, which reveals God's plan of righteousness. We have to have God's law, because God's law reveals what we must do in order to be saved, and God's law teaches us how to live as citizens of God's kingdom. Now here in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge." Now listen to what he says there in verse number 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," they're going about to establish their own righteousness. In other words, Paul is saying they have not obeyed God's plan of righteousness. They have devised their own system of righteousness. And because they have devised their own system of righteousness, they were not righteous. They were not a part of the kingdom of God. They were outside of the kingdom. And Paul is encouraging them to obey God's system of righteousness so that they could become righteous, so that they could become citizens of God's kingdom. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about," listen to it, "to establish their own righteousness," here it is, "they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Paul is showing how the old law could not make one, the Mosaic law could not make one righteous. It was the new covenant. It was the law of God, thus the perfect law of liberty. That's what sets us free. If Jesus sets us free, John 8 verse 36, then are we free indeed. And so when we go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, this is what we have learned this morning. Number one, Christ came to fulfill the old law. And He fulfilled it completely. And because He fulfilled the old law completely, He nailed it to the cross. And because He nailed it to the cross, He established His new covenant. The covenant of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, the law of God, the law of faith, the law of Christ. And if we're going to be citizens of God's kingdom, we must be obedient to God's law if we're going to become righteous. You see, when a person obeys the gospel, God is the one that declares that individual as being righteous. Oh, how we should have a great, great respect for the commandments of God, the law of God. As you think about that, we see how this has a beautiful flow. As we think about the Beatitudes, we see who we are. We are the ones who are poor. We are the ones who mourn over sin. We are the ones that obey God. We can see what we are to be in verses 13 through 16. We're to be the light unto the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. But verses 17 through 19 teaches us how to be the salt, how to be the light of the world. We do that by being obedient to God's law. I'm thankful for God's law. The law of God, the new covenant, teaches me how to be saved. It teaches me how to live. And I want to respond to that law in obedience out of love for God. The Apostle John said in 1 John 5, verse 3, this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments, that you keep His law. For His commandments are not grievous. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love God? Are you willing to keep His commandments? If you never obeyed the gospel, this morning is an opportunity for you to truly be set free from the bondage of sin by obeying the law of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's power unto salvation. If you never obeyed the gospel, if you want to be saved, if you want to be removed from God's condemnation and set free, one must be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's plan of righteousness. We need to hear the Word. We need to believe the Word. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess the precious name of Christ. We must be baptized into Christ. And when we're baptized into Christ, we have our sins washed away. We become that new person in Jesus Christ. We have a new way of living. We turn to God's law and we allow God's law, His Word, to guide us in this life, because we are now citizens of God's kingdom. And if we want to be righteous in God's kingdom, there is a standard. There is a law that God wants us to live by. And we realize, even as God's children, there are times where we are disobedient to that law. You see, as God's children in the kingdom of God, God has provided that means, that continual forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that I need, the blood that you need. And so this morning, if you never contacted the blood of Christ, we encourage you this morning to obey the gospel. Have your sins washed away. If you are a Christian, if you haven't been obedient to God's law, we pray that you will make those changes this morning. That you will repent of the wrong that you've done. That you'll make determination to live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will prepare you for eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, won't you please